We hope you enjoy this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching. We believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
So how are you? Are you doing well? Yeah? It's good to see you. And this is our second week of in-person. I know some of you are still at home and just feeling more comfortable there. That is great. And but our Seaboard campus and our 10 o'clock service this morning, I'm speaking to them. I've just been at our 8:30 service. And it's just so good to gather. It's so good. What I love is just worshiping and hearing voice, you know, people beside me just singing. And there's just something about that, isn't there? So it's good. This morning I'm going to be sharing a message called Remember Who You Are, because I don't know about you, but I've had to remind myself in the last several months, 2020, I went into 2020 going, wow, 2020 is kind of a special year. I mean, who gets to live in a year that is the first two numbers and the last two numbers are exactly the same? Like the last time that happened would have been 1919, right? And the next time it happens will be 2121. So we're the generation that are lucky enough to be 2020. And I went in with some ideas of what I thought it would look like, and it's looked, well, we all know. But you know what? One of my greatest movies, in fact, it's a Broadway musical, and everybody that sees it thinks exactly the same thing. It's just phenomenal, is Lion King. And there's a scene, you know, Simba loses his dad, and he runs away, and he's like, I can't face life. It's just too hard. My dad's gone. And I can't remember the character that takes him over to the pond and says, Simba, look in and see, you know, not just your reflection, but see what's inside of you. Because he knows as he looks in, he's going to see his father. And in that moment, Disney does what Disney does so well. And his father appears in the cloud and he says, Simba, you've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten what's inside of you. And he says, Simba, remember, look and see, remember who you are. And I'm here to remind us this morning, church, we got to remember who we are, right? Have you had to remind yourselves? Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm a Christian. God is for me. He's making a way where there doesn't seem to be a way, right? So the first thing I want to remind us about this morning in remembering who we are is that we are Christ followers. We are first and foremost Christ followers. I know for me as a 15-year-old, I accepted Christ and changed my life completely. Oh, I'm a Christian. Wow. Okay. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to heaven. All the promises in the Bible are available to me. I've come to realize 40 years later, it's really easy to say, I'm a Christian. The challenging part is following Christ every day. Have you noticed that? Maybe I've just noticed that. But I guess we all notice that because every day I'm challenged to yield my will and to do Jesus' will. As I follow hard after Christ, it means I'm not in the driver's seat. Jesus is. Nothing could have made me more aware of that than when we moved to the United States. I love the United States and I'm so grateful. This is home. But I remember here I was, little girl in Sydney, we're married with three kids, love my church, love my life, love my family. Except when I was a teenager, and maybe some of you remember this too, I remember coming on altar calls down the front where people would say, if you want to give everything and follow hard after Jesus, yes, yes, yes. Because when you're a young person, you will jump anything, you'll go anywhere. There used to be a song years ago, I will run through a troop and leap over a wall. Did you sing that? I will run through a troop. No, that's not how it goes. Oh, similar. Life was happy, comfortable, nice, good. And then there was this whisper that Steve would keep saying, I think we're supposed to live in the United States. Remember, he was born in Queens, New York, and I'd be like, let's just blow that away. Just blow that, whatever you're talking about. And it kept getting stronger. He'd talk about it a little more, and in fact, we came to visit the US. And then finally, the Holy Spirit of God confronted me, Sharon, will you go? I'm confronted with, will I fully yield what I want, what is comfortable for me, Will you go? Okay. I'll go. All right. So I came. And I want to tell you that because of an act of obedience, everything is happy and lovely. But the truth is, following Christ isn't happy and lovely all the time. Oh, there's been great highs, but there's been some great lows too. But the thing is, what I've come to realize, and I hope we as a church to do too, is that my life is not my own. And this, in fact, this is what Matthew 16 says, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. Oh man. You mean I'm not going to be happy ever again? No, you're going to be, oh, I promise you. You're going to have joy. It's not happy. Happy is a decision, but joy. You're going to know what it is to know Jesus even more intimately. You're going to know what it is to live like an overcomer. For me, in that moment, when everything that I knew, every tradition I had, every person I leaned on was gone, then guess who met me in my meltdowns? Jesus. And I am standing here on a platform, not because I'm anything great, but because I fully yielded. And he saw things in me that I failed to see in myself. And I've learned that his grace is sufficient for what he's called me to. And so I want to challenge all of us. Oh, you guys are so sweet. Let's not just be Christian. Let's be Christ followers. That means every day, God, not my will today, your will. And in your will, there's amazing things. You know, the thing about Jesus is he told incredible stories. There were stories that challenged the core belief of the Jews at that time. He was so good at it, wasn't he? We like to think that Jesus comes alongside of us and he just answers the prayers we want, and you know, he challenges us. He challenges us to bring out the best of who he is in us. And so I think about when one of his disciples says, well, who is my neighbor, Jesus? You talk about loving your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? And he tells the story about the Good Samaritan. If you remember that story, there's a rabbi and a Levite that walk right, like they literally cross over, or they look and go, I can't help. It's like the church people. The church people that should have known how to care didn't. Oh, because sometimes we see a little bit, well, maybe not you, because you guys are too good, but maybe I see a little bit of myself in there sometimes. We like to think we're not selfish. I was saying to our 8:30 Seaboard service, I said, you know, you don't think you're selfish until those of you who have children bring home your first baby, right? And then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm really selfish. I want my sleep. I want my life back, right? But then a Samaritan comes along. And what's interesting about the Samaritan is that the man who was injured, badly injured, this Jewish man would have despised the Samaritan. And yet he said, there's a human being. I got to come alongside and help him. That speaks to the core of who we are. He also taught the Jewish people not only to love their neighbor, because they were brilliant at it. In fact, my daughter and son-in-law live in a beautiful Jewish community in Norfolk. And a year or two ago, one of the husbands died. They drowned. It was a very unfortunate accident. And you know, within 2 weeks, that Jewish community had rallied and raised, are you ready? $500,000 for that family. As Jesus is teaching this, he's very aware of how amazing they are. But he challenged them and said, the way you love the people that are like, that you love, that are like you, that your race, your culture, I'm challenging you to love people outside of that, the people that don't love you, the people that are your enemies. I'm challenging you. That's the kind of thing I mean when it's, are we following Christ? Because, whoa, he taught parables that seemed unfair. Remember the workers? I don't know if you remember this, but there's a parable where Jesus talks about the hired workers. People turn up at different times of the day, starting at, say, 7 a.m., and I think the last call, the last round is 5 p.m. So 7 a.m., those people agree to pay. 5 p.m., those people agree to pay. a certain level of pay. At the end of the day, guess what? Everybody got the same pay. Oh, but you guys agreed to this. Well, that seems unfair. Jesus taught that stuff. It challenges the very core of who we are. He tells parables about lost coins, lost sheep, and prodigals because he wants to know he counts every one of us. And no one is ever too far from his grace. And I'm challenged as I ask myself, Jesus, are there areas of my life that I haven't fully yielded to you? Second thing I want to remind us of is that we are ambassadors. We're Christ followers and we are ambassadors. An ambassador is someone who represents positively, it can be anything. In our situation, it's Christ. But we are Christ's ambassadors. In a world that is facing such confusion, overwhelm, anxiety, it's easy to forget. Isn't it easy to forget who we are and be consumed with the fear of and what if? And I know I felt that. There's been days it's like, whoa, what is going on? But I'm reminded, your Holy Spirit is here, Lord Jesus. And he's leading and he's guiding me. But it's easy to forget. Just recently, I was with my son, Sam. We were shopping in a store and he was on a different floor to me, had his little boy with him. And so I was set to meet him. And so as I, you know, we had this meeting point and I got the area wrong. Fancy that. You know, the older you get, the less you can remember. So I jumped on the escalator to go down, thinking I was supposed to go down. As I put my foot on the escalator, I hear a voice behind me, Mom, we're up here. And then I turn around and I see Sam and little Thundie. And so guess what I decide to do? Yes, I decide to run up the escalator because I'm convinced that I can meet them at the top of the escalator. As I'm doing this, I'm thinking, what am I doing? I'm a rule follower. I am a common sense person. I'm also 57 and very unfit. What the heck am I doing? And I could feel my arms going and this thing is coming down and I'm like, turn around and go down. But I don't. I'm committed. My kids were doing this, I'd be yelling at them. Wouldn't you be yelling at your kid? What are you doing? Now here I am. And so as I'm trying to get to the top of this escalator, you know dumb things you do, right? I trip, foot hits the step, and my left knee slams into the step that's coming up. Like I literally, boom, right into the step. And this woman is getting on the escalator, and she's like, what are you trying to do? I'm like, I'm doing stupid today. That's what I'm doing. I am literally stupid. There's no other word for it. The pain was so intense. I seriously thought, oh my gosh, what have I just done to my knee? So I get down to the bottom of the escalator. Sam meets me. He's like, Mom, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. I just had to hold myself. I felt like I was going to pass out. And you know what? Any one of us, I'm 57. I think I know things and have it all figured out. But in that moment, I did something really silly that could have had very serious consequences. And I tell you that to remind us, we don't have it all together. And we can just drop our guard for a minute. What were you thinking? I wasn't thinking. It wasn't even a thought. I just did something silly. And I tell you that as I go into my next thought, is that right now I'm looking at the media, I'm looking at social media, and I'm looking at believers. And I'm just going to say to you, what are you putting on your social media? Because as I watch people fight and say stuff that is just aimed to attack, I just want to remind us, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. And I want to remind you what Ephesians 6 says, our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So there's a couple things that I just, if I'm going to post, and to be honest, I don't post a lot on
social media. But let me just read a couple of scriptures to help us. You know, I'm not telling you, oh, she told us not to be on Facebook. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we're Christ followers and we're ambassadors. And I don't want the people that don't go to church to look at us and go, well, why would I be a part of that? I've got people at work that are kinder to me that are at work. So these are a couple of scriptures that I think about. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Am I listening? Proverbs 31:26, and this is written to the Proverbs 31, about the Proverbs 31 woman. It says, when she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. Now that's addressed to women, but it, seriously, to men as well. Is my conversation worthwhile and kind? And then Micah said, an Old Testament prophet, he said, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Are we coming from a place of humility? I promise you, by the time I got down the bottom of that escalator, I was eating humble pie. And can we let old school become the new school? What do I mean by that? Can we re-engage in conversations with people? Because there's something about eyeballing someone where the tone of your conversation, the anger of your, you know, when you sit and you hear people's stories, it's amazing how your perspective shifts. I'm just putting it out there and I'm just asking because the world needs us now more than ever. You know, I was reminded about that this week. We had our community group over. It was our final community group. We had, I think, 20-something people at our house, some beautiful Seaboard family. Shout out to Seaboard. You know, several of the couples there were from Seaboard. And we laughed and we hung out. And I'm just reminded how gathering and talking, I learned so much about so many people. Let's re-engage in great conversation. And thirdly, the last thing, remembering who you are. We are the church. You might be online this morning, but you are still the church. And as we gather, we are the church. Jesus is building his church, a community of faith people who are dedicated to serving God. That's who we are. You know, in the last several months, it's looked pretty different. And we've gathered, you know, at home. And we've had an incredible media team that have delivered an online church service to you. And you know, everybody has an opinion, right? Everybody has a thought. That's another thing to remember. Just because you have a thought and opinion doesn't mean you run over and boom, we're just going to post that out. You don't have to, okay? Just saying. But everybody had an opinion about the church closing down. Church, we never closed down. In fact, we had so many people jumping online all around the world. I believe we delivered a church service to you that was stellar as our team worked so hard. And just maybe, see, I think about if this was 20 years ago, if a pandemic came 20 years ago, what would we have done? I promise you, God is not at the mercy of a pandemic. He just is not. His church will be built. And his church will move forward. It just will. And so I just wonder whether this was the global church, that the global church has developed an expertise that will see the word of God communicated in a broader, far-reaching, better way than ever. God uses everything for his good. This past week, I saw a graduation of a high school in New York City. I don't know if you guys saw it. NBC covered the story. It was a great good news story. It was a graduating class of just over 100 students, and they did a drive-in graduation. I think Hoda Kotb spoke at it. But this principal decided he was just going to gather the students, and fortunately, 100 in a graduating class is doable, right? And so he had this mechanical arm made. Did anybody see that? I don't know if you did. But he had this mechanical arm made so that he could keep 6 feet distance and hand the diplomas to every student. It was so unbelievable as I heard him speak. And I thought, church, we are the church of God, and there is nothing and no one that can stand against it. The devil's going to try. He's going to throw stuff at us. But if we fully understand that we are Christ followers, we are his ambassadors, we are the church. And God knows our world needs us so much. We might see the problems, but God sees opportunity. This is a new day. I've watched business owners reinvent and come up with incredible ideas. Things where they'd say, you know what, I went to bed and I just had this dream, I woke up with this thought, changed everything. We are the church. We are Christ. We have Christ in us. But let me leave you with this as my final thought. How will they know we're the church? How will they know? Oh, we're Christ followers, we're Christians, yeah. We're ambassadors, we want to represent him well. But this is what John 17 says, and I love this beautiful passage of scripture. John 17 says this, and I ask not only for these disciples, this is Jesus praying to his Father, and I ask not only for these disciples, but also for those who will one day believe in me through their message. I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so the world would recognize that you sent me. What is our greatest challenge as the 21st century church is being united, being one. Jesus said, how will the world know? How will the world really know? How will the world know that I came for them? How will they know? They'll know because they're one. Like you and I, Father, are one. That's a big challenge. Big challenge. Lord, humility, kindness. Let me say things that are worthwhile. Let me encourage. Oh, there's some information I need to put out. Great, let's put the information out. But if all the world sees is fight and angst and rah, 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 they'll never know that Jesus came for them. I'll never know. I'm going to hand back to Mark at Seaboard. But for you online, and for us in this auditorium, these are great days. Great days. I want to pray for you. I want to ask you, friend, do you know Jesus? Not do you call yourself a Christian, but have you yielded fully? Is his way your way, honestly? I want to ask you that. I want to pray for you today. I promise you, whoo, the Christian life, wow. It's days where I have to ask God, help me yield. So I realize I want what I want, but I... help me want what you want more. That's what I'm praying for us today. Maybe you've heard about Jesus, but you've never understood you could have a personal relationship with him, that he's so interested in your everyday life. I want to pray for you. Or maybe you just know you know you're not where you should be. For you at home, I'm praying, I want to pray for you too. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you this morning, say, Sharon, could you pray for me? Just lift your hand right now and I'll pray for you right across this auditorium. Thank you, I see you. Anyone else this morning? Thank you, I see you. Thank you, I see you. Anyone else this morning? It's five people online, fantastic, who've made decisions. Anyone else this morning? Sharon, could you pray for me? I need to fully yield my life. Thank you. I see you. I see you, sweetie pie. I see your tears, beautiful tears. Anyone else this morning? Sharon, could you pray for me? Wonderful. Let's pray this together. If you're online, just repeat this prayer. And if you're in our auditorium, let's repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. And right now, I ask you, come into my life. I yield my life to you. Thank you for forgiving my sin. And thank you that today, I am a Christian. I am a Christ follower. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Sharon at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.